This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Greg Miller. Arthur Geese is here.
I am not excited enough for this.
You got to get up. It's GameScoop Friday.
That's kind of your MO thing.
Go to eat some food.
Oh, all right.
Colin Moriarty is here too.
Yes, beyond. Am I allowed to say that here? Scoop.
I was going to say, is this your first appearance on GameScoop?
Yep, it is.
Wow, you've been here a long time. Well, you haven't been in the editorial side for very long.
No, not at all.
You're guides for probably 30 years.
Yes, about 30 years, yes.
Now we have you over on the game side thing. Very happy to have you here.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Of course. Lots of stuff to talk about this week. Let's start with the 6.0 duo, as I like calling them. The 6.6 is like.
I think. Really?
Yeah.
You called it this
before? The 6.0 duo? Two reviews we just put up yesterday. Arthur and I put up. Arthur did Two Worlds 2. I did Bionic Commando Rearmed 2. They're both sequels. They both got 6.0. These games have so much in common.
I feel like one of those is more of a surprise than the other.
So the first Two Worlds didn't get, you know, a fantastic score. It was something like a 7.
I think it
IGN.
Got a better score than most sites here at IGN, actually.
Yeah. Well, but and then Bionic Commando Rearmed got like a 9.4.
Everybody loved Bionic Commando.
For a long time, that was the highest rated XBLA game until like Shadow Complex came along. But no, Bionic Commando Rearmed 2 is not very good. I will talk about that in a moment. But first, Arthur, tell us why Two Worlds 2 is not so great.
I think last week I was talking about it with some friends, and the the expression I coined was...
You coined an expression.
Playing it is a lot like trying to kick yourself in the nuts backwards.
That's deep.
But that also makes me think, why would you want to kick yourself in the nuts in the first place? Is that a good question to ask about Two Worlds 2?
I do think that it is
Why would you want to play this game in the first place?
I think that there are reasons to play it. It does awesome stuff with loot. Like, every piece of garbage that you get is still worth something because you can break it down and use it to upgrade your other stuff. Mm. Spells are made with cards and amulets, and, like, you can layer spell effects on top of each other. Like, you take a fire card and you take a projectile card, and then you can do another card that is, like, lightning. So whenever the fireball hits something, lightning blows out.
You following this, Greg?
Oh, my God. I'm so happy they put magic in this game. Fuck Jesus.
No, but I'm not done. So then
you want to fuck Jesus?
You can make it so that lightning chains out, and anywhere that lightning hits, say, skeletons spawn. Or giant spiders.
This game sounds like it's for
like
nerds.
That. It is for nerds, but I mean, it fulfills like this sort of niche that games like Oblivion and Divinity 2 like sort of scratch at, and we haven't had anything like that in a while.
Dragon Age 2 coming up.
We do have Dragon Age 2 coming up.
Are there cards in that? Am I playing a card game?
There could be. It could be like a gift you give
to
somebody.
Don't listen, BioWare. Do not do that.
I like card games.
I just think that there are things to like about it, but yeah. Other stuff is just so clunky or so poorly designed that it's a very niche game. Mm.
I think
why it got an okay.
It got a 9.4 originally, like you said. And I think,
no, it did not.
Not this one. The first one. Sorry. The original got.
No, it did not.
What did you get?
Bionic Commando Rearm
got a 9.
We're talking about two worlds right now.
I think your hat's too tight.
You thought there were card games and Magic and Bionic Commando.
No, everybody shut the fuck up. All right, I got a little confused. I'm sorry. I haven't even finished my first cup of coffee this morning. God.
First? Yeah. Why? It's already it's like 11-ish right now.
I've been working.
I'm three cups of coffee deep.
Oh, that's how you do it, huh?
Yeah.
You guys must pee all day when you're drinking that much coffee.
I have a catheter.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It runs into the trash bag.
No, it's good.
It's actually just a straw from McDonald's that runs into the trash bag.
All right, well, that's personal.
Terrible. So, yeah, I mean, there are things to like about Two Worlds, too. Unfortunately, there are more things that hate you than
they hate
to like
you.
In Two Worlds.
How long did it take you?
So the in-game timer said 14 hours.
Yeah.
The Arthur timer said something about around 35.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
I wonder when it stops counting.
When you're in a menu and you will spend a lot of time in menus. Mm-hmm. It doesn't count when it kills you and it will spend a lot of time killing you.
Oh, well, that's fair.
How does the Arthur timer work during sex? Does that end up being a lot longer than the actual real sex time also?
No, I think it always feels shorter.
Okay. It's kind of inverted.
Time
that
flies when you're disappointing someone.
Oh, my God.
He's a wordsmith, this Arthur.
So he's great. Arthur's a great addition.
Do you put your things on the ground when you're done? Like when?
Yeah, but I pick them up.
No, afterwards. I know, but that's a good idea. I instinctively went to pick up your piece of paper, not realizing that you had already discarded it.
Okay.
Sorry.
Damon takes his hosting abilities from Dennis Miller. White Weekend Update.
He's a pin. Throw it away. Anyway, Bionic Commando Rearm 2, not a bad game. But not the masterpiece that the first Bionic Commando Rearm was.
The original got a 7.
Yeah. Is that what a 6 is on our rubric? Not a masterpiece.
Exactly. Definitely not a masterpiece. So the whole thing with Bionic Commando is that you could never jump in the game. You know, back from the day,
is what everybody said held it back.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. I really wish I could jump. No, he's got his bionic arm, his claw, uses it to swing around, but you can't jump, and that. Provided for a lot of creative swinging, you know, sort of playgrounds to move around in. But now he can jump. So after like 25 years, a guy finally learns how to jump. You think that would be a pretty revolutionary
change? You gotta crawl before you can walk.
Yeah, but no, it doesn't. It's not a revolution at all. It's just there.
In point of fact, you don't ever need to jump.
That's the thing. You can play the whole game without jumping, and you'll get an achievement or a trophy if you do.
Really?
And if you beat it, it unlocks...
Well, I got Colin's attention now.
If you beat it, it unlocks a mode that lets you disable jumping.
So but since you don't have to jump anyway, it just makes me wonder, why is it even there? It's not like that's they got really creative with it. It's
I
like
I sort of feel like that should be aimed at the game itself.
What do you mean, aimed at the game?
Why is it
even there?
Well, I mean, I love Bionic Commando. I loved Rearmed. If they had made another great game, that would have been cool with me, but it's just kind of there.
Did you like the retail console version?
I didn't even play that because I heard it was so bad.
I enjoyed it.
You enjoyed it?
I did.
I could never get swinging down.
So, spoilers. So
I'd always fall and be like, God! Sense. And they're like, no, you just hit the bottom
very
of your
idiosyncratic.
Gym.
I was very interested in that game, being a big Mike Patton fan.
Right.
So, since I didn't play it, how does he do in the game?
It does well.
Yeah. I wish he would do more voice acting stuff. He was in Portal just for a second.
I mean,
one
given
minute.
What he has to work with, I think he does well.
I haven't heard about him doing any more voice acting stuff. But
No, I mean, in The Darkness, I mean, he was The Darkness.
Yeah, he just did his
spoilers.
Crazy voice.
Yeah.
Now, spoilers. Spoiler alert. Bionic Commando retail 3D game. Spoiler alert. Okay. His arm is his like dead wife,
yes,
right?
Yeah. The AI is powered by his wife.
Yeah. That as soon as I heard that, I was like, "What?
That's silly.
That's so crazy."
Come on. And, stories are supposed to take you places, Damon.
The girl with the bionic legs has her husband, I guess, or something like that.
What?
There. Yeah.
How the essence of them? How?
It requires taking a person's brain and turning it into a computer to run a bionic appendage.
It's like Brainiac. He comes down and he'll take people and he'll digitize them.
I admire your ability to turn it into a Superman conversation.
Well, DC in general.
God forbid.
I mean, Dame is just such a DC fan. I knew by making a Brainiac reference, digitizing, he would get it.
Greg, God forbid, we were both in a car wreck.
Yeah.
If you didn't make it and I lost an arm, I would want you to
Thank
be
you.
My arm.
All right, that's what I want to hear. But I don't want to be a robot. I just want like my flesh rearranged
grafted
in a way.
Onto me. Like your I want it to be like your head.
Okay.
Like not your arm.
My mouth is your hand. Like you just grasp with my mouth.
I feel like we went into awful Dead Space territory now all of a sudden.
Yeah,
So yeah, you can jump in Bionic Commander Rearm too. But aside from that, just the level design isn't exciting at all. Like,
and bosses are boring.
Yeah, there's only three bosses. The middle one is pretty cool, but the other two are reused multiple times.
Does have many more serial jokes.
Yeah. Ooh, so there you go. Rearmed.
Wasn't there? I don't know if it was in Bionic Commander Rearmed or the Bionic Commander Remake. But wasn't there something? I could be making this up. But wasn't there something with like a British woman who like was married to someone, a royal person over there, who was going to do the voice acting in the game, but she wanted to be like the main, like she wanted the game to revolve around Rad Spencer's wife or something like that. Do you guys not remember anything about this?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Does anyone have a?
We're in the black hole. Yeah.
Okay. I have a PSP. No.
I vaguely remember something like that. I gotta. Yeah. There's something.
Sorry, everybody. Google.
I don't even know what to put into Google to answer that question.
Bionic Commando British wife revolve.
It was something about like, I don't know, maybe it was a different game, but something about how like they wanted this famous woman in Britain to do the voice acting, I guess, of the wife, but she didn't want to do it unless the wife was somehow the main character of the game or something like that, so she didn't do it. This was a story a while ago.
I'm typing Bionic Commando voice acting wife famous into Google.
Yeah, see if that brings you anything.
Let me Google the
anyway,
story, bro. You
sorry. I just thought it was
Arthur, you're a Battlefield fan.
I am a Battlefield fan.
So Battlefield 3. Coming this fall.
I think it could be awesome.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder how PC players feel about it, because like the imagery, like all we have is like a Game Informer cover, and I think they released a teaser.
Yeah, that doesn't show any gameplay.
Right, which is...
Shows tanks.
Totally annoying for different reasons.
Tanks.
So the imagery of it on the Game Informer cover is a lot like Bad Company 2. Like it's the same sort of style. It's like the blue with like the fire in the guy's armpit, because that's Bad Company, I guess.
Is fire? Are you fiery armpits?
It's weird. It's like this orange, like flame kind of thing going on.
Oh, I can see what
he's doing. Like the walk,
right?
He's walking.
He's doing the Bad Company 2 walk, and PC players are kind of annoyed by Bad Company 2 because it's like the consoleification of Battlefield.
Hmm.
So I'm wondering what Battlefield 3 is going to be like in that regard.
Well, the PC version is going to have 64 player multiplayer.
Right.
Why the PC version only?
Because the console versions just can't handle that.
Really? Mac can handle that.
MAG not that people play MAG, than Battlefield, just in the way that it handles players and sort of separates
like instances.
Sections. Yeah, it kind of instances, just like Resistance kind of instances in 2 and 1. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could be awesome. I like me some Battlefield. I hope there's destruction.
There's probably going to be some destruction.
Yeah, it's using Spoilers. The next generation version of their Bad Company 2 engine.
Frostbite 2 engine, yeah?
Yes.
So Battlefield 3 could very well be going up against Modern Warfare 3
this
fall.
Battle of Threes. The Traces.
Mm-hmm. So one of them will be awesome and the other will sell more.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like we talk about how many games there are coming out this year, but like probably the biggest game of the year hasn't even been announced yet, right? I mean, if history continues the way it has
Mega Man 11.
Yes, Mega Man 11. No, right? Like if the next
one will sell 2 billion on day one. Yeah.
Everyone will buy it. Mm.
Are you finding anything on that phone about this?
No, nothing. Nothing at all. Just a
good
lot
job,
of
Good job, Colin. Thanks for this wild use, Chase. You're a good addition to GameScoop.
I'm trying.
Greg, please take Arthur's phone from him.
No, he was doing it for GameScoop. He was doing it for
Google's.
We're going to
sound like my girlfriend.
We should see. I couldn't make a joke about us having sex.
Not here anyway.
We should see Battlefield 3 at GDC next month.
I do think it'll perform well on PS3, from what I've heard about the engine. They're switching to a kind of engine that works better on the PS3 than the engine from the last one.
So yeah. There you go, Greg.
Good. I tried to play multiplayer. It crashed every time.
Really?
That's upsetting. Yep. Couldn't get past the load screen.
That's unfortunate, because Bad Company 2 is the best multiplayer shooter last year.
This week we heard about a new Kinect game from Twisted Pixel, developers of The Maw, Explosion Man, and Comic Jumper. In the forthcoming Miss Splosion Man also. So Twisted Pixel is working on a Kinect game called Gunstringer, or The Gunstringer.
Uh-huh.
It's a Western starring a skeleton cowboy. He's a puppet, and you control it marionette style, basically. So we don't have a lot of details about the game so far, but it appears they describe it as a cross between a platformer and a shooter. What's the matter?
I enjoyed the movie when it was called Durango.
The Rango?
No, Durango. That dumb Johnny Depp movie.
No, it's called Rango.
You mean the
whatever,
movie.
I don't care.
You don't even know what you're talking
dumb,
about.
Dumb, terrible movie. I'm not going to
movie that hasn't come out yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so, everybody just shut up.
Jeez.
Directed right. by Gore Verbinski.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you not? What's that?
Gunstringer?
Yes, Gunstringer.
Does it also have Hunter S. Thompson in it?
Yeah, it's true. Anyway, looks like there's on-rail shooting sections. So they say you're controlling this puppet with your hands. I don't know. I guess maybe for the shooting sections, are you going to be pointing at the screen
no.
with your hand
think,
like a gun?
I would think
you'd
use maybe your left hand, like with the marionette controls, right, to up and down them and stuff, and then yeah. your other hand could be the gun.
Yeah. I think it's really fantastic how well doing marionette motions translates to radio.
Okay,
oh, yeah,
you know
yeah.
what?
We're all doing marionette motions right now. The thing about that is that Kinect games so far can't read your fingers, right? They just kind of read your block hand.
They can't read your entire body and read fingers.
Hmm.
Because there's too many points of articulation.
Okay. Well, they say that you can play the game sitting down, so maybe it's that's why. You're, yeah. It's not reading your entire body. It's just looking for your fingers.
I mean, for Steel Battalion's sake, I hope that they figure out a way to do the finger thing.
Yeah, you'd be, like, pounding on the screen.
Giant
buttons.
Yeah.
I don't want to lift my leg to eject.
I think that sounds really... I was reading about that. I think it sounds
yeah.
cool.
Yeah. Like, did you watch the announcement trailer?
No, I didn't. I just read your piece on it or whatever. It's just it sounds more innovative than a lot of the things they're doing on the
Well, Kinect. Twisted Pixel makes, you know, really fun games. So far, all their games have been downloadable, but they won't say whether or not Gunstringer is downloadable or retail yet.
Will it also have awful checkpoints and mind-numbingly difficult sections?
Which one are you talking about? Are you talking about Explosion
Every
Man?
Every Twisted Pixel game has kind of had that.
Why were the checkpoints awful in Explosion Man?
In Explosion Man, when you had to do super twitch sections over and over again if you died like right past that section.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then if you died enough times, it put the ballerina tutu right. on you and let you
cool.
pass through.
Yeah, so they have the punk bitch pass the yeah. level option. That's great.
You can do that too. No release date for Gunstringer yet, but we'll be keeping an eye on it.
Good.
Anyone, did you pay attention to this Class 3, Arthur, coming to Xbox Live? This you should be interested in this, Greg.
I'm totally in. Let's hear.
This is an open world zombie
game.
Survival game.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Playable over Xbox Live.
What?
Yeah. It sounds like they say, who's this developer? Undead Labs.
Mm-hmm.
Which is appropriate. They say it's going to look and control like games that people are very familiar with on consoles. I don't know if that
Mario?
Means it's going to be like a
Super Mario Brothers.
It's going to be like a third person sort of like GTA.
I understand that you suck in zombies and you take on their powers.
Yeah, that's how it works. No, so as a description of gameplay possibilities,
yes.
Greg. See, I think you're going to like this. If you see a bunch of survivors held up in a building, do you go in and save them? Do you then accept their gratitude and send them on their way or bring them into your shelter? This is the sort of problems you have to deal with. In
my fear here, right, is that it's online, right? I'm playing with other people.
Yeah,
right.
That's what it sounds like. It says you as you play, you're continually expanding your survivor group. So it sounds like you're meeting up with other players.
Are there going to be checks where they can't kill me? They can't waste my supplies. Like, cause I'd like to think it'd be other people, but I could very well see myself being the dick. I'm all leveled up or something. I move into organizations. I hang out for an hour and then I just loot and kill everyone. Like, I don't want
to. I could also see you being the dick.
Yeah.
Kind of like when you played Mag and you were killing everyone on your own team.
Last night I was flirting with people in DC Universe.
I saw that with the text.
Yeah.
The conversation you posted on Twitter. Yeah. It was pretty good. Food is required to stay alive in Class 3. Class 3 is not a good name, by the way.
No,
hopefully,
not at
that's,
all.
Hopefully that's just a
code name or
code name. Yeah.
Sounds pretty
like
ambitious.
A bejeweled clone, that name.
Class 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. Sort of like a match 3 sort of thing. Anyway, I thought
you'd
be
into it. I think that sounds neat.
Yeah.
I thought you'd be into it. Do you see how many copies Donkey Kong Country Returns sold?
Yeah, an unbelievable amount.
A lot.
4 million?
Yeah. That's amazing. 4.2 million.
4.2 million. Yeah. I can't believe that.
Yeah, so Nintendo released their top 10 best-selling games of last year, 2010. Donkey Kong Country did very well. 4.2 million, but it's not even towards the top of the list. Wii Sports was number one, of course, because that is packed in with the Wii. Mm. Almost 13 million
it's
copies.
It's disingenuous counting that as a sale.
I know.
Yeah, it is.
But that also tells us, I guess, they sold 13 million Wiis last
year. I think
they
sold 7.2 million Wiis or something like that.
So where did the other...
It doesn't come bundled
5 million.
In Japan.
Oh, okay. Mm. Gotcha. Anyway, then Wii Sports Resort is at 10 million. But then you get a big drop-off when you get to the actual, like, when outside of the super casual motion games, because the next one is New Super Mario Bros. Wii, which is at 7 million. So there's, like, a 3 million copy gap between that and Wii Sports Resort.
Wow, gotcha. And that game came out in 2009.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
It's true. And yeah, it's still better than Mario Galaxy 2. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's disappointing in a way. I mean, just I like both the, games, but...
The name Super Mario Brothers is a more recognizable brand than Mario Galaxy.
Right. I'm and I think surprised. It's more inclusive for multiplayer.
What'd you say, Arthur?
I'm not surprised. I mean, New Super Mario Brothers Wii is a side-scrolling throwback game to a bunch of people that take their Wii out like once or twice a year.
Mm. It's true.
So we did the marionettes needed were needed for we needed a video podcast, but Arthur's face right there is perfect. Take it out of time. I love Arthur.
We
drink your coffee.
Wii Party was above Donkey Kong Returns. Wii Party came out in the fall, and we all discounted it. It's just a mini game collection. But
where's Wii Music? Is that on there?
No. Nope.
Wii Music sold better than almost every console exclusive on 360 or PS3.
I just remember how embarrassing it was.
Yeah, that was the worst E3 demo of all time.
Look at that again.
Well, I should have said
it was just all. Really bad. Was it all like free music too? Like music that was old enough for?
Yeah, it was like Happy Birthday. It was all like
Happy Birthday. Yeah. Was that one of them?
It is. It's like royalty free music. Just,
yeah. That's so bad. Oh no. Yeah. Oh yes.
Metroid Other M did not make the top 10.
Shocking.
Is that shocking? It's too bad.
It's not shocking at all. That game was not good.
That game had good. Gave it a good score. Yeah. We gave it a great score, I think.
I didn't play it, but I know that just reading in the community, some people really liked it and some people really hated it. But then it had that game-breaking bug.
And it brought up so many emotions.
I loved remember the fix that they had for that bug, by the way, Metroid, which was instead of, they can't release firmware or whatever, so they were like, you can send us the save on an SD card and we'll fix it for you and then send it back. I was like, oh my God.
We live in the future.
That's pretty. This week, IGN, we put up this pretty cool feature on it's the ESRB flowchart showing how the ESRB rates games. Maybe one of the more controversial parts of the process is that the ESRB generally doesn't play the games before they rate them.
I thought that was well known though. Like,
I think for a lot of people you don't catch that, but we do it. They just look at this box art generally, right?
They look at the box art the developers cut together footage that's supposed to be the most graphic or profound footage of the game. They send that footage to ESRB, and the ESRB watches it and then comes up with a rating, basically. Mm-hmm. So the ESRB actually responded to us explaining why they don't play the games. And
lay it on me, Damon.
I think the reasons actually make a lot of sense. So we've got a representative from the ESRB, Elliot. How do you pronounces his last name there, Greg?
Elliot Mizoraki. I was here to say some stuff to you. Mizoraki.
So games are, when they're submitting this footage, they're still being developed. So they're not finalized yet. They could be really buggy. That could be really hard for them to play through the game.
Uh-huh.
That's also makes sense, right? They assign over 1,000 ratings each year. Some mini games take over 50 hours to play through. Like, it's just probably just impossible for them to play every game. And then also, if the raiders were just playing through the game, making their own choices, it wouldn't guarantee that they would see all this explicit content anyway. So here, ideally, they're just seeing, they're getting right to the explicit content. And there's actually fines in place. Like, developers sign a contract, agreeing to pay a fine if they don't disclose the most explicit content. So if it goes to retail and then turns out there's a hot coffee sort of bug in there,
Yeah, they must have got slammed with a fine for that, right?
Oh yeah,
they will pay a big fine, up to $1 million, and they may have to pull everything off shelves, remanufacture it, which would be very expensive for publishers as well. So I thought that made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So last week, we put up this Dead Space 2 podcast.
Yeah, we did.
All Dead Space, all the time.
Spoilers. Talks about it.
Yeah,
Steve was here.
Papa Poopathis.
Yeah, that guy. Anyway, we're giving away. Remind us what we're giving away.
You're getting.
I just wanted Astro Gaming.
Astro Gaming gave a whole bunch of stuff to give away. So you're getting the Astro Gaming A30s headset with the microphone attachment. Then you're getting a wireless mix amp, so you can sit as far away from your TV as you want and have it come through in surround sound with your headphones. And then they were also giving away the PS3. Chat integration. If you want to use it on your PS3, like Xbox has one cable that goes in the mix amp, but PS3 there's a little USB you have to put into the mix amp receiver.
Can I enter this contest?
No, you are too late.
We have a winner here already. Do we have this unit yet?
We're giving them the information.
Okay, they have the
custom scoop tags and everything ready to ship once we give the winner.
So we have the winner right here, Austin Mueller.
Hello.
Of Collegeville.
This is Austin.
Collegeville, Pennsylvania. Collegeville, I think. I like that.
Sounds made up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It does sound like a town in a sitcom, like set in college, right?
Like an animated sitcom.
We live in Collegeville.
Like Saved by the Bell of the college years. Maybe
they would be in Collegeville. Yeah. Anyway, Austin, congratulations. We'll get you've got your address here. We'll get that over to Astro Gaming. What's the matter?
Kelly Kapowski's from Pound Town. She was hot.
Yeah.
Is hot.
She was.
Tiffany Amber. Or Tiffany
Amber.
I think they dropped the Amber part.
Okay. Tiffany Amber.
Adorable woman.
Remember when she was on 90210 and she she was like the really bad girl. She moved in with
she walked around in lingerie that one, like her first.
Smoked.
Yes. Oh my God. It was a complete departure from Kelly Kapowski. That's when I knew she was gonna go far. That this woman had a range. It was like when you look at like colors and you're like, man, look at blue. Look at purple. Oh my gosh. The range.
It's just so weird because some people from that show do things still, and I would just sit back and collect my check. Mario Lopez hosts a bunch of stuff.
Extra?
Extra. He does the Animal Planet stuff. And then it's like, I would just sit and collect my check. You know, Dustin Diamond
does not do much.
He tried to.
Well, he was on, wasn't he on?
He's been on everything.
No, he was on one of those VH1 shows.
Fit Club.
Yeah, and he was like a total douche nozzle on that. It was and he lives in like a house in Wisconsin, like just a normal house, which is fine. But
I think he had to like hold a fundraiser to save his house at one point. He was broke.
So
he had a sex tape too. Lisa Turtle. Where's Lisa Turtle?
One of my best writings at IGN, I think my first year I was here, I wrote a new story about somebody tried to steal Dustin Diamond's PSP.
Yeah.
And he like got it back. He like had a scuffle at a hotel room. And then he had this great quote. It was like, you don't mess with the D-Man. It was awesome.
You took that saying. I hear you say that quite often. Yeah.
Where's Belding? That's what I want to know. Belding's show. He came to my school for some reason, but I didn't go to see him.
Am I the principal here? Get out! Get out, Belding!
Is it a bathrobe?
Colin, we were talking about Explosion Man earlier, and today you're reviewing Explosion Man for PSN, yes?
Yeah, it's called Explodemon. It's from a different studio.
Yeah.
Curve Studios.
It's actually pretty different, right?
Yeah, it's different.
It's different enough to not be a clone.
It's Mega Man.
Yeah, it's funny because when they came to show me the game, I guess it was this summer, they were the developer was like, I hate Mega Man. And I'm like, what? I'm like, this looks like Mega Man X.
So this game is made by people with bad taste.
But I can't imagine hating Mega Man personally. But it's a cool game. I kind of feel bad for the developer just because there's a long, like, sordid story about this game, and obviously they if you read about it, that their games actually was in development longer than Explosion Man, but they kind of it was supposed to be on WiiWare, then it was supposed to be on XBLA, then it was coming to like PSP, then like so it just got knocked around a lot and. So it's like an exploding man game, just like Explosion Man was, I guess.
Yeah.
But from the videos I've seen and stuff, because I haven't spent any time with Explosion Man or whatever. They seem like different kinds of games with kind of different sensibilities. And I like this game because it's more about speed running and collecting items and stuff and going back through stages to find things and stuff, seeing how fast you can get through. And I like it. I like it a lot. But
you just beat it like just now before
we got
came
to watch
in.
The final cutscene. You ruined the game for me.
Yeah, sorry.
Record.
No problem.
So do you know what score you're gonna give it?
Yeah, I'm going to give it an 8.
There you go. You think it's great?
Yeah, I think it's a great game. I don't think it's for everybody. I think that if you have old school sensibilities, like maybe you or I, or you want like a pretty difficult game, the difficulty arc's pretty high at the end of the game, or you like just speedrunning and stuff like that, which I do with Mega Man games. Mega Man 9 and 10 were really fun to speedrun. I think people that are into that kind of stuff are going to like the game. But I think if you're like more new school or you don't have 2D, you don't like 2D platformers and stuff like that, obviously this game's not going to be for you. So.
That review's going up today.
Yep.
Comes out on Tuesday.
On Tuesday, yeah. Yeah.
Cool. This week I'm giving away my Extra Life t-shirts.
Oh.
Remember that we did the Extra Life charity gaming marathon in October?
Yep.
Raised a bunch of money. I think everyone here participated, yeah?
Yeah, sure. It was great.
Anyway, as for being participants, they sent us these Extra Life t-shirts, which are actually pretty cool. The artwork on it is really cool. It's got, who's got? It's got
Kratos.
Kratos, this is Zangief?
Yeah.
From Street Fighter?
And Rex, it looks like.
Yeah, Rex from Mass Effect. And who's this? Playing drums. It's
somebody,
a band.
Somebody said Gears of War.
It's a video game band.
Which Dom, like right? Marcus. It's got Dom.
Oh, okay, it could be Marcus.
Marcus, because look at the do-rag.
Oh, you're right, yeah, the do-rag and the little scruff on his feet.
Yeah, so it's sort of like cool cartoon characters.
Look, they're playing on an SD TV, though. Come on, guys.
Yeah,
get it together.
Are they playing Rock Band?
Well, one of those
Rex
kind of
has a guitar controller, so...
But they're all going into one hub.
That looks to play on expert with two fingers.
Anyway, unfortunately, they sent me a large, and I wear a medium, so I will give this away to one of you lucky listeners. Just write into gamescoop@ign.com, put Extra Life in the subject line, include your email or your address, and it'll expedite the process. And I'll pick a winner at random next week.
Sounds good.
Let's check in with those listeners, Greg.
Hey, listeners.
Remember, listeners, you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com, just like Alexander did.
Okay.
It's okay with you?
Yeah. Don't forget, we have to make a call for art here in a little bit. We'll I have see, a scenario to present.
Do I know what you're talking
yes.
about?
Yes. Once we get going, once the wheels are in motion, you'll know.
All right. So after Alexander, can we do the call for art?
Okay.
Alexander says, hello, Damon, Greg, and the rest of GameScoop. First of all, I'd like to say that while I haven't been listening for too long, started about 6 months ago, I love the podcast. Whenever I open my iTunes and see a new podcast, it brightens up my day. So thank you all. Now I've got a question. The question is for Greg.
That's me.
I know he's a massive DC fan.
Totally.
Recently,
Totes with goats.
Recently, the two Blur trailers for DC Universe Whoa. Online has kindled an interest in comics for me, specifically the one and only Dark Knight.
Oh, okay.
I'm a little confused as to where to start. The sheer number of comics is a little daunting for a beginner, so any advice would be greatly appreciated.
There's plenty of good graphic
what
novels.
What was Rich just saying yesterday was the best Batman book?
Oh, he's talking about single issues. He's talking about on the market at the moment.
Oh, okay.
So that would be hard to jump into. But okay. Buying them in contained books is usually pretty easy. Long Halloween's excellent.
Hush. Long Halloween.
Hush is awesome. Hush is fantastic. Year One, Batman Year One, everybody likes.
Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, I was going to say, I loved Dark Knight Returns back in the day. That's still cool to recommend.
Still awesome. Right.
Yeah, you get to see him beat the crap out of Superman.
If you want a good book that's got Batman influences to it, the Joker one that they just put out recently was really good. The Brian Azzarello or whatever one.
Azzarello.
Yeah, yeah.
What's it called?
Joker. It's just Joker. It's got a really creepy grin on the cover that looks really disgusting.
The writer from 100 Bullets, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, what's your call for art?
Oh, okay. So we went on this cocoa retreat over the weekend, everybody. And while we were enjoying a few margaritas, we came up with a personal hell in that we wanted this to be illustrated by someone here. Okay. So basically what's happened is, here's the backstory to the art we need. And you can, you let your creative juices roll on this one, ladies and gentlemen. There's a chef. And he comes up with the best hamburger you could possibly eat. It's like he nails the recipe in the bun and what he's doing down there and everything. He takes a bite and he realizes this is the greatest hamburger on earth. I'm going to be famous for it. But he makes the mistake of telling a computer. So the computer becomes sentient, and then comes and decides, I'm not going to let this secret out. And he tethers the chef to a brick wall.
So the computer. So I think you're skipping that the hamburgers are rolling off.
No, we're not there yet.
Okay.
So the chef is shackled to the wall, right? But in a standing, but attached to the wall. And the computer makes a conveyor belt that makes his hamburger over and over again. And the chef has to watch them come down the conveyor belt and fall on the floor. So his greatest creation is being wasted in front of him. No, he knows no one will ever be able to eat it. And there it is. Jim Riley suggested they come down an escalator instead of a conveyor belt. If you want to go with that tangent, you're welcome to.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
True story. Jim Riley did not eat dinner during our cocoa meal because we were at.
He brings pickiness to a whole new level, man. He really does. God bless him. But he wouldn't eat breakfast. He wouldn't eat eggs. I gave him a piece of the sausage patty we had the first day.
You wouldn't eat a sausage patty?
He ate it, and he was like, this is disgusting. I'm like, what is a sausage patty?
In the interest of full disclosure, the sausage patties were nothing to write home about.
No, they weren't, but it's a sausage patty. It's a sausage
at
patty.
That point,
it's a
I
free
think that,
buffet sausage patty. Like, whatever.
Exactly. A buffet free sausage patty, I think, it would entice Jim Riley. That seems like something that would bring him to the table.
Yeah, I think that was better food than we've gotten at maybe some E3s and stuff even. I don't think it was like the worst food we've ever had.
No,
and it's free, and you eat it, and you're thankful to have free food.
Yeah.
He also didn't bring any clothes. He didn't change
any clothes. He didn't bring any clothes.
It was an overnight trip, and he only wore one outfit the entire time.
Well, he was expecting to get a shirt the next day.
He didn't wear it, though.
Yeah,
he got it.
Anyway, moving on. This is Phil. He says, I invented a word, podcastinate. Listening, which the definition is listening to podcasts as a means of putting off doing something productive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that is a portmanteau. He
says, I'm sure I'm not the only GameScoop listener guilty of podcastinating. Thank you for sharing that one with us, Phil. This is Matt Jones.
Matt Jones?
Overlord of the GameScoop superfans, Matt Jones, writes in.
He's been gone a long time.
But he's back.
Does he explain where he's been?
I don't think so.
Did his home planet need him?
He wants to keep some mystery behind his goings-on. He says, something I wondered. I usually stop buying games around mid-November because I wait for them to be given as Christmas presents. Then the holiday break comes, becomes almost nothing but playing video games. Was that something that you all did in the past but now don't because you work at IGN? Or did you not receive video games as Christmas presents very often so you just bought what you wanted? Anyway, that's what he's asking me.
Yeah, yeah. For me, yeah, that's what I did when I was on the outside. You couldn't afford everything at once.
What about now, though?
Oh, now we're usually getting them in the office, right? Before us go, you're reviewing stuff that you're really excited for. Seems like by the time.
But now I spend the break playing the stuff that I didn't have time to play, you know, because I was reviewing my own stuff during the fall.
Yeah.
So like I started playing Fallout New Vegas over the break, and I'm still playing it now.
I didn't play Limbo until the break.
Mm. I was caught up on those. So I didn't need to. I played Dead Space 2 over break.
I did that as well.
A Little Big Planet 2.
It's your review.
Yeah, I go through phases where I play at home, and then I like. It just so happened when we had that time off in December and early January, I was like reading and watching movies and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just like I kind of feel disappointed about it now because like I wasted some prime time and there's so many games
reading.
Coming out. What a waste!
It's not getting you any trophies, I'll tell you that.
No, I'm really stagnant in the trophy hunt right now.
I'm feeling pretty confident that I will stay in front of you this entire year.
I don't know, Greg. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Speaking of which, do you remember that a year ago, right now, we were going through the trophy horror war and we were all miserable and hated life?
Yeah, and I kind of was talking about reviving it, but no one wants to do it.
No, nobody wants to do it.
Isn't your trophy progress, though, soiled by accusations of improper conduct?
In the end...
Wasn't it, Greg?
No. The trophy horror war was not. That was a war. On a battlefield, you have to do what you have to do. But then later on, months after the Trophy Horror War, I suggested maybe cheating in Dead Rising using a debug menu.
We signed an armistice, though.
There was an agreement drafted so that I would not be able to cheat.
Were there trials?
Colin would have if he could have. Colin would have hung.
We had probably 90 minutes on Podcast Beyond about just about that.
Yeah.
Matt has another question.
It didn't surprise me at all.
Another question here. Is there one gameplay feature that automatically makes you love or hate a game?
We just talked about this. So for hate, I hate really insane multiplayer trophies or achievements even. You know what I mean? Something where I feel like I have to put – I don't like multiplayer games most of the time, right? Especially competitive multiplayer. I'm just not that guy. So when you get a game and you want to be a completionist about it and then all of a sudden it's like Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
And you actually have to be completionist about it.
Yeah. Hate that. But I mean, no. But like, that's like Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, right? Like I will gladly go around and collect all the flags and do all that, blah, blah, blah. But then there's the get to level 50 in multiplayer. Like, I don't even like – no, I don't like multiplayer. I don't want to do that.
Fucking people.
Yeah, it's wacky. I don't
Where
like –
get off, Arthur?
I don't like games that just – You don't like the multiplayer trophies, but I don't like games that include multiplayer where maybe it's not needed. Yeah. You know, like I always use the example, a recent example is Vanquish, which was a splendid third-person single-player shooter but didn't have multiplayer. And I'm glad that they didn't try to force it in. It just worked the way it was or whatever. So it's still my greatest fear with Infamous 2, by the way.
Yeah.
If a game has the feature of being on the Wii, I generally generally it doesn't. Anything, Arthur?
I don't like multiplayer trophies often. Like Bad Company 2, I thought did them well. And anything with Call of Duty in the title typically pushes me away from playing multiplayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For Matt Jones, his love scenario is if you have good and evil decision making in a game. He generally loves that, like Fallout or KOTOR. And his hate is escort missions.
Ugh, really hates escort, those. Yeah.
That's fair.
Remember Metal Gear 2 when you're walking Emma around, right? That's her name. Right?
Solid 2?
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid 2. Raiden and the girl with the glasses. Emma, right? Am I right on that? Anybody?
I don't remember her name.
Oh, no. I don't like this path I've gone down.
I'm sorry. That was on a PlayStation console, which apparently I hate, so I'm not allowed to talk about it. No, other people.
Oh, okay.
Who says that? The internet.
Is it Migs? Is he saying that to you?
Well, this is a question from PS Master.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So he's probably the one that's saying it.
It could be.
Says, I'm quite a young gamer at only 15 years old.
And yet a master.
However, I know that I hold the same amount of enthusiasm, knowledge, and sometimes skill in gaming that other older gamers have. I just don't have the experience. Now, I may not hold the memories of going to the arcade and playing something like Star Fox.
Yes. All of video game history is condensed into one sandwich.
Oh, no. Isn't that amazing? I love it.
I may not have ever played this N64 with the little coin op.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to make fun of him, but too much. That's
too much. Star Fox is Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
That was...
Go on.
But I've played the original Mario games, and I know how amazing they are. My first console was a PlayStation 1. I have played video games ever since that console. My question is, when it comes to gaming, does age matter? Does the lack of experience instantly mark someone as less of a gamer? Do you think that much younger gamers have a lower valued opinion, or does it not matter at all?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really? I think that
their opinion is taken less into account in the greater conversation, sure, because context, I think, is important in a lot of regards.
Exactly. I think so, too. I think a gamer can, like he's saying, he plays and he's trying to, like, catch up and put those things into context. And so I don't think it's necessarily age as much as it's experience, but if you're younger, you're more liable to not have that experience, you know?
Cause, and yet, surprisingly, more sure that you know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like, I don't think that they shouldn't be playing games. I'm glad that they enjoy what they enjoy, and that's awesome, but yeah. I still think you need to, it's like if you get a movie, where, you know, you trust Ebert or someone, because you feel like he's seen the movies in the past, and, you know, like, but you wouldn't trust me for movies, because, like, what, you know, I've only seen what I've seen in the 80s and 90s up till today, but I think it's important that you have some context. You've played, you know, at least some 2600, and you've played your NES, and you've played, you know, some games. And
some Star Fox.
Some Star Fox in the arcade, for instance. But I don't think he's a less of a gamer. I just think that he only has the context that he's built up in his 15 years.
It's something I've started to realize recently, how many of our readers didn't play the games that we played when we were kids, you know, and don't have that same sort of, like, Colin and I are
also that they need to get off our lawn.
Yeah, I know. Colin and I are working on this awesome feature, top 25 NES soundtracks. It's going to be really cool. But then I think, like, wow, like, how much of our audience is actually going to appreciate that?
Yeah. Well, I think that some people, you know, obviously people our age are going to enjoy it. Some people that are younger. What I think is cool is that it seems like a lot of young gamers, it's important for them to go back and at least read about or see or even watch a video on YouTube of some of these old games. Because he said he was 15 and his PlayStation was his first console. PlayStation's older than he is. So he must have, you know, gone and – because PlayStation came out in 94 in Japan. So
he's 15.
So 96
as a infant.
Yeah, as
welcome to the world.
But I'm in PlayStation.
But I'm saying he's already done taken a step into understanding something that might not have been around when he was of
it wasn't
gaming
the prime
age.
Console
because I was born in 84. That's after the crash and everything. So, but I went back and played Atari and stuff like that just to get some context, and I think that's important.
This is Jonathan. He says I got quite a few games over the holiday break to play through, and my backlog is up to about 6 games now. I was just wondering, how does the Scoop crew choose which order to play through their gaming backlog? Do you go by how recent the games are, the length of time it will take you to beat them, or something else entirely?
Once in a while, length of time, but it's usually what I'm most excited to play.
Yeah, my scientific method is to look at my stack of games and just figure out what I want to play right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here. I know that there are games on this ridiculous backlog that I have that I'll just never play because it's just because games just, you know, a game like Fallout comes out, it jumps to the top. A game like Mass Effect 2 comes out, it jumps to the top. Killzone obviously is going to jump to the top, stuff like that. So it's kind of disappointing though, because I was telling Greg, like, I have like almost 80 PSN games on my system or whatever, but I'm not even going to play some of these games because I buy them because they're discounted or something, and then it's like shit, I'll never get around to this game. It's disappointing.
Next to my TV I have a stack of games like Borderlands and Assassin's Creed Brotherhood and Just Cause 2, all games that I've started that I would love to get to someday, but I don't know that I ever will.
Not enough hours in the day, for sure.
It's true. Arthur?
I own like 90 Xbox 360 games, and I don't know how many Xbox Live Arcade games, so I have a...
And you've beaten them all.
No, I've beaten most of them, actually. I think that length occasionally is the thing to look for, like, just to, as a way to get into things and sort of blow through stuff. But
there's that feel, right, of like, man, I just want to play this kind of game, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I might not want to go in and jump into something with a really deep story. I just want to jump into a PSN game and do something simple.
Definitely
more
and
Pac-Man.
Also just something that might have value to the whatever conversation is happening on gaming at work or with my circle of friends.
Yeah, that's right. I honestly, it would destroy our industry and our jobs, but I just wish there was like a year with no new games so we can catch up on all the old games that
awesome,
that came
actually out.
Just because I probably wouldn't even be able to, if I played every day, I probably still wouldn't be able to catch up on all the games that I want to play. You know?
Sure.
So that would be nice, but that's not going to happen.
You're kind of the PlayStation Plus expert.
Yeah.
Here.
Well, Greg too, I'd say. No?
This is Ryan Krosky. I think he's got a question you can help him out with. He says, I just became a PlayStation Plus member.
Mm-hmm.
If I download the free game trials, later purchase a full game, am I going to have to start over?
No,
will I be able to continue where I left off?
Wasn't that the idea? Was that you can...
Oh, I don't know, PlayStation Plus expert. Why don't you answer the question?
Well, because I think...
Wow, Greg's really sore about that one.
Well, because I think the idea was, weren't you downloading the whole game, but it was like time-locked, so then if you buy the voucher or whatever, then it just the game's already on your system.
That part I'm not sure. If you play it and you end up buying it, you get your saves carry over.
Yeah, because that was the big deal, was that if you earn a trophy, for instance, you'll actually get that trophy if you buy the game or whatever. By the way, PlayStation Plus on Tuesday, stacking will be free.
For free. That's huge. That's awesome.
So that's really big.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I'm very excited about stacking.
Stop paying for it.
Well, and then you lose the game. Yeah,
yeah, then well, yeah, yeah, then you can't play. That's the mark. That's what I call the Mark Ryan
argument. You keep
anything
you bought off the discount, but yeah, anything you got yeah. completely for free, yeah, you don't have access to anymore. But if you're still trying to play stacking 3 months from now, yeah, what the hell is the problem? It's going to be like 2 hours long on like Costume Quest, which is great.
I just wonder how they're working that out with Double Fine and THQ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I put an email. They made a point of saying it's free on day one, and I'm not the way they phrased it. I wasn't sure if it's, hey everybody, the first day this is out, it's free. You know, it's free, or if it's hey, the first day it's out, it's free for that day. I'm looking for an answer from THQ.
I honestly think it's probably because, frankly, we know that they're not going to update the they'd have to update the PlayStation Store, probably take 8 years to do, just like it usually does. And they, I think it would probably be that free game for that 2 weeks. I mean, that's kind of my
idea. I mean, they do the monthly stuff. I think it's going to have a little bit of time on it.
What happens when it's the next month? Like, do those previous games?
They come off the store. They come, if you already downloaded them, you have them. But if they were on the store, they get recycled and something else comes up. They warn you that
stacking, like you get to play it for free for a day and then after that.
No, if you download stacking for free when it's like whatever period it's free and you have it on your system already and your PlayStation Plus account is active, then it's free forever. So you can just play it as long as you're a new year thing.
It's very confusing.
No, it isn't.
Well, a little bit confusing. You just expressed confusion.
Well, no, at the way you phrased your question.
No, you were talking about the
it's a user error.
Yeah. No, when you were talking about the way they phrased their press release, like you're like, maybe this means.
Oh, that was just a PlayStation blog post. You're right. Yeah. True. That part. I thought you meant the free game thing. Have a subscription, keep the free games.
Greg's confused about being confused.
Moving on.
In language that you might understand, Greg Miller, suck it.
Anybody here ever care about Kingdom Hearts?
No. Not at all.
Nope.
All right, sorry, we're not answering your question. Sorry, Austin Lin, but that kind of does answer your question.
Was that the question? Does anyone care about Kingdom Hearts?
This is Eric Petralia. Says, hey guys, I'm asking all of your opinions on how you like San Francisco and the surrounding area. I will be a senior in high school next year, most likely be going to college in the Bay Area for computer animation. After college, I would like to work in the area because some of my favorite companies are there. My parents, though, always say that I would hate living in the area. What is it really like there?
Why would you hate it? What are your parents saying?
Yeah, no, he doesn't tell us why, but...
No, that doesn't help me.
So what is the Bay Area like?
Does he say where he's from?
No, he doesn't. He says... he moves to Reno. He lives in Reno.
It might be a little bit of culture shock moving to San Francisco from Reno.
San Francisco is cool. It's not the favorite place I've ever lived in, but I think the Bay Area is beautiful.
Yeah.
And San Francisco is really beautiful from a distance. When you kind of get down into it, it can be kind of dirty.
It all depends on where you are, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's really nice areas. But
I think our area is nice enough. Like where we work now and stuff. Oh, I think the sunset's filthy.
Yeah.
Thanks.
No problem. Enjoy that filthy Muni ride every day.
I do enjoy it.
It is.
Pro tip, avoid the tenderloin.
Yeah. You would never. I've lived in the tenderloin, and I can tell you.
Really?
Yeah. 6 months.
Wow. That was your tour of duty in the Tenderloin?
Yeah.
Just general, a few things to keep in mind. It's super expensive.
It is.
Like, really expensive. I'm from New York. It is more expensive.
And you can't make rent money by playing slot machines.
No, not like you can in Reno. But the thing that stands out to me is just that it's expensive. But I do – there's a lot of things to appreciate about San Francisco. It's super it's super diverse.
It's a really fun city.
Yeah, it's fun. There's a lot of things to do. I think I like the diversity and the fact that everyone's kind of friendly and it's a live and let live city, which I think is really nice. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the roads are in like complete disrepair.
That's true.
The city's filthy.
The city does not run well.
Yeah, the city doesn't run
well. Public transportation is awful.
Yeah, Muni sucks. The buses suck. The city's frankly filthy in a lot of places. And
BART is awesome.
Yeah, BART's nice, but I lived in Daly City. BART was cool.
Except the cars are dirty.
But just be prepared for what you're getting into, man. It's not cheap. It's really expensive.
Let's make all the seats fabric. Nothing bad will happen there. All right, good idea.
It's been described as Disneyland for rich people, and there are, in fact, 50,000 multimillionaires living in San Francisco.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So it's
isn't there some great, other
statistic? If you're a multimillionaire, Eric, I think it's a really good place to live.
Like the population doubles during the day, but once 6 o'clock rolls around, it cuts in half.
I don't know. That'd be interesting.
I live right downtown in the financial center.
Those assholes that live in the East Bay that work in the city.
Yeah, when I go to Greg's on like a weekend, it's like a ghost town. It's actually
Which
pretty
is
cool.
Awesome. That's one of my favorite parts of where I live, man. Just being able to walk around and walk along the water and not have it be mobbed.
It's like Dead Nation.
Everything is closed.
Noah's Bagels is open.
Maybe my favorite thing about the city though is that we have an amazing food culture here.
Yes.
Mm. Here in San Francisco and in the East Bay, also like you have to work hard to find bad food here.
Jim Riley does it every day.
I know.
McDonald's is everywhere.
Yeah. Great beers too. Like it's a really, really big drinking town.
Yeah, microbreweries, a lot of microbreweries, and I will say you don't have the one food item you don't have to look hard to find. is pizza, because the pizza here is garbage.
But well, there's good pizza places. There's a pizza place
in the Mission. There's a place that I went to.
Pie. Little Star.
Little Star is amazing. Mission.
Is there another place in the Mission?
Pie.
There's pie, and then there's Pauline's. These are all in the
These are all like good New York style pizzas or Chicago style.
Yeah,
some Chicago style pizza. Little
well, you guys
Star.
Are from the Midwest.
And Zachary's is another one that's pretty good.
Mm, haven't been there.
I'll tell you, stay away from the extreme pizza. Can we all just agree
on
that? Jesus.
Yeah.
Let's just stay away
all
from
right.
that.
Let's not go crazy.
There's also an amazing cocktail culture here. Places like Rick House. Like you can actually go and they know how to make a Floridora. You don't have to pull up the the recipe on your iPhone and show the bartender how to make it. They can make you an amazing Floridora.
So can you guys explain? I don't know anything, but I see it. Some people even tweet at me about Floridora, but I don't know what this is. Can you
it's
explain
the official
it to me?
Beverage of IGN.
And you guys made it up?
The abbreviated story, Greg.
The abbreviated story is once I was yelling at Craig Harris and I got too caught up in my own joke and I screamed Floridora at him, but I didn't really say Floridora, but then the next week Geddes said Floridora.
It was just,
and
it was screamed as an assertion of dominance.
Yeah. And so then ever since then people have been saying Floridora as a way you know pwn somebody.
Okay.
And then somebody eventually found that it used to be a cocktail recipe.
It just already was a classic cocktail.
Awesome. Yeah.
So we sought it out and we made it one day and we're like, oh, this is great.
Cool. What's in it?
Gin,
frambrose,
and ginger
lime
ale.
Juice. Yeah.
Yeah,
that sounds kind of nice.
You'll enjoy it.
Nice. Okay.
It's great.
Cool.
So there you go, Eric. Make up your own mind whether or not San Francisco sounds like
here.
It's right.
Come with a wallet full of money.
Yeah, that's true.
Just be careful not to lose it.
don't go where Nick Cullen goes.
This is Scott Perkins. The subject to his email is, am I weird?
Probably.
Yeah, probably with you. If you have to wonder.
Internet podcast.
What other types of podcasts are there, Arthur, that don't come from the internet?
NPR, I guess?
He says, I was talking to a fellow gamer at work today. She laughed at me for what I thought was a normal habit. Whenever I get a new game, the first thing I do after I open it is open the manual and smell it.
Okay. Yeah, sick. That's what I do too.
Yes, you are weird.
Something about a fresh video game just makes me happy. Do any of you do this?
I enjoy the smell of a video game when I open it, but I don't seek out the manual sniff it. I know Colin does. I know Jim does.
Yeah, like when I get a new game, I've been doing it since I was little. It's just like there's something about, I guess it's the ink smell. It's probably actually really bad for you.
But that is not the first thing Jim does. Jim takes the disc off the spindle to see what kind of case
to see if it's like a recyclable or eco-friendly.
But I'll tell you this. Whenever I get a game, Jim is like, can I see it?
Yeah,
and then and then he'll take it out. Yeah, I'm like, all right, well, at least maybe I'm weird, but Jim is also weird.
Yeah, I don't do this.
The most disappointing manual in recent months was Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
It was just one page. It was one page folded in half.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
I miss good instruction manuals.
I never really smelled the manuals,
but Two Worlds 2 has a long instruction manual.
When I was a kid, I always read the instruction manual
from
front to back before I started playing the game.
Did you ever take them with you to school?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Sure, sometimes.
That was the best part.
The best was, so on Christmas Day, we'd go over to my grandparents in Kansas on Christmas morning, and that same day, we would then drive to Arkansas to see my other grandparents. So my first grandparents, I would get...
Oh, the Midwest, where states are small enough to do this.
So I would get video games at my first grandparents, and then on the car ride, I would read the instruction manuals all the way to my next grandparents, and then set up my Nintendo there and play the
game. That's cool.
That's really good.
Yeah, I remember sitting in, like, even when we'd go to, like, Toys R Us or something when I was a kid, get an NES game or an SNES game, and you sit in the back seat. Open up the box and sit there and read it, and then like Arthur said, bringing them to school too. Like I remember doing that with like Wild Arms and PlayStation games, Tales of Destiny and stuff like that. Super stoked to get home from school to start playing those games. Those were the days.
Oh yeah.
Now games don't even have worthwhile instruction manuals anymore.
We've arrived at our final email of this week. Superfan Brent Ghosh writes in to say he just got two new puppies.
Aww.
He shared a picture of them here. This is two puppies here.
Aww, that's cute.
Golden retrievers, yes?
Yeah, that's what they look like.
That's what they look like, yeah.
Check this out. The darker of the two is Hatfield. The lighter is Miller.
Aww.
This is that's what nice.
He's named his puppies. Here's the kicker, though. The Hatfield is a girl.
Yeah, it is. Gonna get banged.
Do you think you're gonna bang me?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, me or the dog?
That'd be pretty...
What are the implications of that?
Yeah, Brent, I hope you're gonna breed.
It sums up me and Damon's relationship.
Yeah, it's probably true. Your puppies are very cute, and Brent, and we're honored to be the namesakes. Are you following me on Twitter? You should be. Not only can you keep up with the games I'm gaming and the music I'm making, but I like to give away codes for games from time to time when I have them. So hit me up, Damon Hatfield, on Twitter. That's all the scoops we have for you this week. Anything to add, Greg Miller, before we leave? We're going to be at PAX East.
Yes, we're going to PAX East.
Yeah. So hopefully all you listeners have your tickets or badges or whatever for PAX East. Our panel is, I think, 3:30 on Sunday. So
yeah, look for that.
Definitely plan to be there. We'll have a meet and greet also. So.
That should be right after you get over your hangover.
Yeah, I know. I think that's in the afternoon. That's good. Yeah. Plenty of time. Yeah. So Hopefully we'll see all of you there. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Arthur. Thank you, Colin.
Thank you for having me.
My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Come get some. Beware, I live. IGN Gamescoop.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.